Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
When I think of the scope and the wonder of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ would be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God. It's by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. Now, when you hear something special that the Lord is trying to say to you, just take a moment and make a real short note, and we'll take time after the presentation of Scripture to share those things. Encourage each other with what God has said to you. So Rod's going to do the Scripture, and you get to preach the sermon. Doesn't happen often, I imagine. Okay. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. It's written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in Christ Jesus, and to the elders and deacons.
May God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace and peace. She wondered where I was coming from. Well, I thank God every time I think of you. I always pray for you, and I make my request with a heart full of joy because you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ comes back again. Now, it's right for me to feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. See? Together we've shared the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news. God knows how much I love you and I long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in your knowledge and your understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Now, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach, well, because they love me, for they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives. As they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached, so I rejoice. And I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I would always be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my life would always honor Christ. Whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ. And dying's even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I don't really know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live. Sometimes I long to go be with Christ. That would be far better for me. But it is better for you if I live. I'm convinced of this. I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then when I return to you, you'll have all the more reason to boast about all the things that Christ Jesus has done for me. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then, whether I come to see you again or just hear of you, I'll know that you are standing side by side, contending together for the good news. And don't be intimidated by your enemies, for this is a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. For you have been given the privilege not only to trust in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. Look, we're in this fight together. You've seen me suffer for Him in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of this great struggle. Now, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? I'm sure Paul did that too. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Well, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, considering others as better than yourselves. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. Your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. You know, though he was God, he did not demand or cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now, because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That's amen territory, folks. In heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, dear friends, you've always been so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, in everything you do, keep away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. See, you are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world filled with crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life so that when Christ returns, I'll be proud I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. And yet, even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, that is, if I am to die for you, then I rejoice. And I want to share my joy with all of you. You should be happy about this. And rejoice with me. Well, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. Then when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you're all getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares for your welfare. The others care only for themselves, not for what matters to Christ Jesus. But you know how Timothy has proven himself like a son with his father. He's helped me in preaching the good news. And now I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Now, in the meantime, I thought maybe I should send Epaphroditus home to you. He's a true friend, a faithful helper, and a courageous soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now, I am sending him home to you because, well, he's been longing to see you, and he was very distressed. You heard he was ill, and indeed he was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow. So I'm all the more anxious to send him home to you because I know you'll be glad to see him, and that will lighten all my cares. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy, and be sure to honor people like him, for he risked his life for the work of Christ and was at the point of death while trying to do for me what you could not do because, well, you were far away. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, whatever happens, may the Lord give you joy. I feel like I ought to try that one again. Whatever happens, may the Lord give you joy. Better. I never get tired of telling you that. Now, I'm doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutilators who say, you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. We boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet, I can have confidence in myself. If anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So, I'm a real Jew if there ever was one. And furthermore, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous. I harshly persecuted the church. And I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully, I was never accused of any fault. And I used to think all of these things were so very important. Now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ. Huh? My Lord. See, I've discarded everything else, considering it as garbage so that I may have Christ and become one with him. See, I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to follow God's law. I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Now, I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I might experience the resurrection of the dead. Oh, I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or already reached perfection, but I am working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear friends, I'm not yet all I should be. But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us to heaven. Well, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree with me on these things. If you disagree on some point, I'm sure the Lord will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we've learned already. Dear friends, pattern your lives after mine, and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I tell you again with tears, that there are many whose conduct show they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting his return as our Savior. You know, he will take these weak, mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own. With the same mighty power he will use to conquer everything everywhere. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I love you and I long to see you again because you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. Now I want to plead with those two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, please, because you belong to Christ, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news, and they worked also with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice!
Yes.
It's really not in there three times, but rejoice! Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember, the Lord is coming back soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you will do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, let me say this one more thing before I close this letter, brothers and sisters. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep on putting into practice the things that you've learned from me and heard from me and seen me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned for me again. Now, I know you've always been concerned about me, but for a while now, you haven't had the opportunity to help me. Not that I've ever been in need, for I've learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. See, I've learned the secret of living in any situation, whether I have a full stomach, an empty stomach, plenty, little. I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. And yet you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news, then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Why, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. But I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. See, at present, I've got everything I need. I got more than I need. I've been generously supplied by the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases Him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. I'll give my greetings to all of the Christians who are there. All of the brothers who are here with me send you their greetings. All of the other Christians here also send you their greetings, especially those who work in Caesar's palace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, it's your word. So it's your work. And as Pastor Todd earlier led us, Father, we individually invite you to do something in us today. So, Father, complete your work in each heart, whatever that is. Your word speaks clearly, it speaks strongly, it is anointed to do what it's intended to do. So we receive your word today. Let me ask you this question as your heads are bowed. Is there anybody here who has never before taken the intentional step of trusting Christ as Lord and Savior? And what that means is you're a sinner and you know it. And we don't make light of that, but the solution is right here. And in a matter of moments, you can be adopted into the kingdom of God and leave the kingdom of darkness behind. Jesus died so you could be free. This isn't a matter of being a better person, a better guy, a better gal, a better husband, a better wife. That often happens. It's about life and death. So if you've never before, and if you're here today, something's going on in your heart and you're getting yanked pretty good. God's yanking your chain, and that's the Holy Spirit working on you. If today is your day to get right with God and allow the blood of Christ to forgive you and cleanse you and adopt you into his family as you repent of your sin, would you raise your hand? Anybody? Anybody? It's the best deal in Wyoming today. Anybody? Hallelujah. Yoo-hoo! Praise you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Well, while you're just praying, let me just have a short chat here with this one who's raised your hand. You know, there's just a few things you got to tell Jesus today. And you can just put this into your, put them into your words in your heart, just, and you can even speak it out if you want. But Jesus, I know I need you today. I want to be one of your kids. I know you died so that I can live and that your blood can wash me clean. So the first word is kind of, sorry, I know I'm a sinner. The second one is, I repent, I'm turning around, I'm going to follow you. And the third word is, thank you. It's really a fairly short process. 60 seconds ago, you might have been part of the kingdom of darkness, but now you're a part of the family of God, dear. Huh? Hallelujah! Come on, get happy, folks. No, don't. Don't wait. Just start whooping and hollering, because the angels beat you to it anyway. They're just looking for fellow whooping and hollering-ers. I was an English major. Whoopiners and hollerers. But I did spend 10 years in Rawlins, Wyoming, so that... I'm from British Columbia. Don't you know I'm supposed to speak with a nice, crisp accent and all that stuff, y'all? So, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kind of reminds you of why we do what we do, don't you? Do you know, if you never ask anybody if they want to know Jesus, you'll never see someone come to know Jesus because of your testimony. If you never ask someone who's that was a big step. One small step for man, one large step for mankind. There we go. If you never pray for someone who has a physical need, if you never pray for them, you'll never see anyone healed. God touch them through your prayer and your faithfulness. Let's start acting like Jesus. Huh? Start praying for people in Walmart. That'll weird them out. It also works. Okay, what did you hear? What did you hear in there you go. Okay. Your turn. What did you hear?
Pray.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. Pray. So none of us are going to worry anymore, right? Or are you one of those folks that just doesn't feel right unless you're worried about something? How many have met people like that? Some of you are lying. We've all met people like that. Okay, who else heard something? What did you hear? What did you hear? Yes. I'm going to get exercise here, too.
He who begun a good work in me is going to finish it.
He's going to finish it. He's more interested in how you turn out than even you are. Amen. Okay, someone else, real quick. Let's just pop, do the, well, that was, oh, here we go. Okay.
God will supply you with all your needs, and you can be happy with little or nothing.
Hey, I've learned the secret of living in every situation. Isn't that amazing? Whether you've got lots or little, full stomach, empty stomach, I've learned how to live contentedly. Boy, and he was writing this from jail. Be joyful. I'm in jail. How would we do? How would we do that? Someone else. Someone, Jenny.
Everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Someone else. Over here. Yes. Yes. Todd's getting his exercise.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
You heard that, and that's not what I said, was it? But that's the translation. That is King Jimmy, James. I used to call it King Jaime, but yes, yes. He empowers us to do whatever he needs us to do. Where he guides, he provides. We got bumper stickers for that stuff, don't we? Don't we? Yeah. We got one here, and then we'll come back up here. Yes, okay.
The past does not matter. It's who Christ has made us that matters.
Amen. And you notice he says this one. He says, I'm putting all my energies into this one thing. Forgetting the past, which to me means it takes a little energy to forget the past because we like to hang on to a lot of that stuff. But one of the things that hinders us in the church a lot is some great thing that happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or for some people 40 or 50 years ago, and it was so wonderful, and we're always looking back there instead of looking at what has God got for us today? What wonderful thing does he want to do among us right now? Someone else. Okay, we got, yes, right here.
Be bold.
Ooh. She's good. You're right. Be strong, for the Lord our God is with you. Yes, and here's one up back here.
I look forward to being who Christ saved me to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, got one there. You bet, Scott, you're losing weight as we watch.
Be faithful.
Ah. Stick with it, huh? Yeah.
Agree wholeheartedly with each other.
Boy, yeah.
Unity is a decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does that mean there's never a disagreement? And it's not just a matter of agreeing or disagreeing agreeably. It's a matter of finding God's heart here. You know, it really is. See, was there one more over here? Nope, okay. Here, run along.
Am I supposed to grumble or complain about anything?
I did that one day, and Jenny said, I think that's the progression. First you complain, then you argue. Don't let there be any complaining or arguing among you. Arguing usually starts with a complaint. Here we go.
Remember where your real citizenship is at.
Remember where your
real citizenship.
Real citizenship. I love that. Paul dwells on that a lot. He dwells on that a lot. We are citizens. I have a card not in this pocket because I haven't got any pocket to have anything in. But I have a card in my wallet that says I was born in Canada. Okay, I have a visa. If you ever wondered what an alien looks like, here I am. That comes in very handy sometimes in quieting a noisy child in the back seat of your car. You ever seen an alien? No, I'm one. And I have a card to prove it. It only happened once, but it was worth it, and it's a great story. Anybody else? Then we're going to turn a corner here. Okay, we got one right here. Okay. And then we'll turn a corner here. Because
rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord! Do you know one of the most exuberant outbursts when we got to that part of Philippians happened outside of Edmonton, Alberta, at a Lutheran outdoor gospel music festival. Southern Gospel Music Festival in northern Alberta. And a bunch of Lutherans, every head in the whole place was blonde. I didn't even get to say, I'll say it again. I said, rejoice in the Lord, always. And this place, they about tore the place apart. It just went, yeah! They just exploded. I said, you do better than Pentecostals. And they exploded again. You know, so it was huge fun. We got one more contributor back there, and then we're going to turn a corner here. Okay. Oh, and we may have to conclude this, because if we don't, by the way, we're going to challenge you here. Go ahead.
Remember that God is always with you.
God is always with you, and His love never fails. His love never fails. Why would we do this? We don't travel around because I like wearing a dress, guys. Though it's not that bad. We pastored a small four-square church in Rawlins, Wyoming for 10 years. And during that time, a friend came to our church who was also pastoring an even more microscopic church in Thermopolis. But he had memorized several books of Scripture, and he came and did 1 Peter, challenged us to start memorizing Scripture. I didn't think, Jenny and I, neither of us thought we could memorize Scripture. How many here don't think you can memorize anything? Well, there are three honest people here. Okay. Okay. And he got everybody else for 8 verses in a row. He got me for a book, because I didn't raise my hand when everybody else was. I was standing at the back thinking, this would be a really good thing for all of you guys to do. So he buttonholed me afterward on the way home in the car, and that's where Philippians came from. And following Philippians came Ephesians. After Ephesians was James, and I was working on James about 3 years later. And God said, I'm going to change your assignment. And we, with the blessing of our district and all of our friends, stepped away from the ministry of being a pastor and began traveling in a horrible old motorhome. If you're going to go live in a motorhome, get a good one. And my wife said, amen. God has challenged us to just talk to folks like you about embracing the discipline of memorizing Scripture. And all the only thing we share with you are what has happened to us, the things that have happened in our lives. In a nutshell, memorizing Scripture is the most significant thing Jenny and I have ever done in our walk with the Lord. Jenny got saved when she was 7. I'm not going to tell you how old she is. Oh, okay, she's 37. I'm 64. I started memorizing Scripture when I was 50. We have never experienced anything so life-changing. I grew up in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Jenny grew up in Denver at Calvary Temple under the leadership of Charles Blair. Some of you may be aware of who Charles Blair was. We've always been a part of Assembly of God churches or Open Bible Standard churches. We pastored an Open Bible Standard church. We pastored a Foursquare church. We're now Foursquare ordained ministers. When I was memorizing Philippians, I had to memorize it a half a verse a night, because that's all my little brain would absorb. I'm happy to report my brain's a little bigger now. But not so much that my soul is larger. Because that's where the Word of God goes. It goes into your heart and your soul. It doesn't just stay in your mind. How do we know this? People who have memorized Scripture can actually lose the ability to speak. And if you will start for them a passage of Scripture that they've memorized, there are those who will begin to speak that out again. and they'll speak it until the end of the scripture, and then they'll be silent again because they cannot form the words to express themselves beyond it. The Word of God does not just stick here. Aren't we glad about that? It goes into your spirit. So Jenny and I began memorizing scripture shortly thereafter Jenny did. God got a hold of her in a pretty dramatic way in the country of Peru. We've been all across Canada. We've been in 45 denominations who have welcomed us to come and... Oh, he covered that. Now, I was changing into my dress, guys. So, it's... When your three sons look at you after a few years of memorizing, you know, pretty aggressively saying, this is something I'm going to embrace, and they say, you're different than you were a few years ago. And the only thing you can point to is the fact that you embraced a discipline that has the power to change your life. We want to invite you to embrace that. Now, why should you memorize Scripture? Number one, this is a list of three things. It's by no means exhaustive, but these are the three things we share. Number one, God said so. In Scripture, 150 times at least, God says, get the words off these pages and get them on these pages. At least 150 times, and you'll find them everywhere. Colossians 3:16 says, let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Psalm 119, verse 11, probably the most well-remembered of these verses. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I... See, you already got one memorized. Does that mean you'll never sin again? Does that mean David never, ever sinned again? I don't think so. But you can't. This is our testament. You can't sin like you used to. You just can't. You can't get away with it. So, number two. If you've got a heart to know God and you begin to memorize portions of Scripture, chunks of Scripture, and we're talking chapters and books, God's going to change who you are. It's going to change who you are. It's like he rearranges your spiritual DNA, shows you, starts showing you things. Pastor Craig will get up here and he'll be preaching, or whoever fills the pulpit here will be sharing with you from the Word of God, and your response, instead of being, oh, that's good, yeah, that, I got to write that down, your response will be, that's correct. It's correct because it says this here in James. It says this in Matthew. It says this in Ephesians. And it becomes confirmation to you. And it builds your faith. My goodness. Like never before. Number three, we're not guaranteed, thank you, that we're going to have this thing for any length of time. There's an agenda afoot to take this not just out of the public place, but out of your hand. How do I know? We got an enemy. He hates this book. He'll do anything he can to make this unavailable to you. And don't fool yourself. He knows all about the internet. It's true. So if you lost access to this, and your smartphone wasn't smart anymore, how much of God's Word would you have available to you? Only what you've put through the windows of your soul and let settle in your heart. Now, what was it you said? There's about 200, some or a little more, that call this their church home, somewhere in that neighborhood. What if everybody here memorized one chapter of Scripture, and it's your job, Todd, to make sure everybody gets a different one? How do you like that? Yeah, okay. But what if everyone here just memorized one chapter in the next 2 months? Everybody in this room can.
That was bold, wasn't it?
Just think how much of God's Word would be living here every time you guys got together. And not just here, but wherever you go. See, just like wherever you go, you got to take you with you. Wherever you go, you take the kingdom of God with you. How are you equipped? How well equipped are you? What are you doing intentionally to let God build in you a spendable currency for the kingdom of God? So we're here to challenge you to consider this. Go find a chapter of Scripture.
Oh, a whole chapter?
Yep. I'm glad somebody's smiling. a chapter of Scripture, and do your best in the next 2 months to make it yours.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.